Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. I'm back in the saddle here on this Thursday, April 19th. 2018. Really hope you guys are having a fantastic week out there. You are now over the hump and just a day away before the weekend begins, which is slated to be a really nice one. It's nice weather outside right now in comparison to what we've dealt with for a long time, right? Sun is out. Sky is blue. 40 degrees. Supposed to get up to like 55 come this weekend. And just in time, I tell you what, for the baseball season to kind of get into full swing here. Unfortunate, though, for the Michigan State baseball and softball team, seeing as though most of that season is already in the books, right? But with that being said, we've got a lot to get to on today's current sports. Before I proceed, much thanks to Ian Hawley, current sports engineer, for holding down the fort yesterday. Also, I believe John Simon was the man behind the glass yesterday. Much love to both of those dudes. Didn't get a chance to hear the show. Of course, I was attending a funeral for my great uncle yesterday. But I'm sure they did a fantastic job. I trust those dudes. All right. Well, great show in store for you guys today. We have two guests coming on. The first guest will be Aaron Sulzer, who is a former Eastern Michigan University wrestler, and he is a representative for a campaign entitled Save Our Student Sports. If you have not heard, Eastern Michigan University Athletics announced earlier this year that they will be cutting four sports in order to fight this budget deficit that the athletic program in the school is currently operating under. It's an announcement that was, of course, met with a lot of anger on behalf of student athletes who participate in the four sports that they are cutting. Also, even by the student body at EMU, some of the student body saying, look, I mean, why don't you look at the college football program and look at how much money that's eating up here in Ypsilanti. So Aaron Sulzer would join me. Again, he's a former Eastern Michigan University wrestler. He's a representative for Save Our Student Sports. And again, this is a campaign organized by a few student athletes. And Aaron will actually be speaking at tomorrow's rally. So Aaron will be chatting with us about what he plans on saying and how this whole thing came about. He'll join us around 1:15, so you don't want to miss that. Also, one of our dear friends will be joining me live here in studio. My man, Anthony Iani, renowned motivational speaker and former Michigan State University men's basketball player. And he is also the first Division I college men's basketball player to be diagnosed with autism. And you guys know April is Autism Awareness Month. So Anthony will talk about what this month means to him and educate us a bit on autism. And also he'll keep us updated on his motivational speaking endeavors. And again, the dude is blowing up right now. He's all over social media, speaking at countless schools every single week. We'll get an update on the life of Anthony Iani as well. That will happen for segment B. In segment B, I should say, around 1:30 p.m. And then on the back end of the show to close out things, we will have Throwback Thursday for you. And I will have brief thoughts on the
story concerning an aide of John Engler apologizing. So that and so much more. If you would like to be a part of the show, of the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us via Twitter. At Al Martin, WKAR is my official Twitter handle, or tweet the show at WKAR underscore sports. Or you can even join us via live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment below that video and I will do my best to get to your comments throughout these next 60 minutes. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Thursday, April 19. With a commitment for the Michigan State football team, Michigan State added another local product to a 2019 recruiting class heavy on in-state prospects. Marcel Lewis, a 2019 three-star linebacker from Chippewa Valley High School in Clinton Township, announced his commitment to Michigan State yesterday via Twitter. He has nearly 20 offers and picked Michigan State over Michigan, Iowa, Indiana, and others. At 6'1", 205 pounds, Lewis is listed as the number 18 player in Michigan, number 25 inside linebacker, and number 690th recruit overall in the 2019 class, according to 247 Sports. He had 88 tackles, including 11 for a loss, 3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and a fumble recovery during his junior season. Michigan State now has 6 players committed to its 2019 class, and Lewis is one of 4 in-state recruits. He joins 4-star cornerback Julian Barnett from Belleville, 4-star QB, Duane Mathis from Oak Park, and 3-star offensive tackle Spencer Brown from Wallet Lake Western. Michigan State baseball tied a season high with 15 hits, getting 3 from each from junior third baseman Marty Bacina and sophomore left fielder Bryce Kelly to beat Western Michigan 10-7. A lot of runs scored yesterday afternoon at Robert J. Bob Stadium out in Kazoo, playing the last few innings under steady to heavy rainfall. Bacina was 3-for-5 with 2 RBIs on a 2-run double in the 6th and scored a run, while Kelly was also 3-for-5 while scoring twice and adding an RBI. Kelly also stole 2 bases, adding to his Big Ten Conference leading total, now at 23 this season, which moves him up to tie for number 4 on MSU's single-season stolen base list, tying him with Anthony Checky back in 2013, Jeff Holm in 2010, and Steve Mooney back in 94. The Spartans remain on the road, resuming Big Ten action at Northwestern on Friday to Sunday, April 20th to the 22nd. Friday's series opener will be nationally televised on the Big Ten Network starting at 4:30 p.m. first pitch. Saturday slated for a 2 p.m. start. Sunday's series finale slated for 1 p.m. For the first time since he took office 2.5 months ago, signs of discord emerged Wednesday between interim president John Engler and some members of Michigan State University's Board of Trustees over his handling of the Larry Nassar sex assault scandal. 3 trustees expressed concern about Engler's March 28th meeting with Haley Lorenz, one of Nassar's victims. Lorenz, who filed a lawsuit accusing MSU of failing to protect her, told the trustees last week Friday that during a meeting, Engler had secretly offered her $250,000 to settle her complaint. We've profiled that story a lot here on Current Sports. Carol Viventi, an MSU vice president and special counsel to the president, in which she defended Engler and called Lorenz's statements, quote, outrageously distorted, end quote, and an attempt to, quote, set up, end quote, MSU and increase the cost of settling her lawsuit against the school. Viventi, who attended the March 28th meeting, apologized after her comments were published Wednesday by many media outlets. Quote, I offer my sincerest and most heartfelt apology for the letter I sent to MSU leaders after the board meeting. Viventi goes on to say, quote, I did not think about how my words would make the survivors feel. What the survivors of Larry Nassar have been through should not be experienced by anyone. And I'm sorry my words added to their pain, end quote. The apology marked the second such statement from the university in less than a week. In a detailed filing regarding his transfer case, former Ole Miss quarterback Shea Patterson tells Michigan officials he was lied to by former Rebels coach Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss officials repeatedly over a 20-month period in an attempt to keep him on campus and discredit both media and the NCAA. In a scathing 9-page rebuke of Ole Miss to the NCAA, Patterson begins by saying, quote, I'm not going to hold anything back. Patterson's appeal to become immediately eligible at U of M is now in the hands of the NCAA for the final resolution. It is now known that Patterson's appeal contains a timeline of allegations asserting that he and his teammates were misled about the scope of the NCAA's investigation into Ole Miss. Talk about drama. All right, Fergus Connolly, Michigan's football, now former director of performance science / operations, faces 9 criminal charges, including 3 felonies, stemming from a March 5th drunken driving arrest in Ann Arbor. According to 15th District Court records, Connolly faces misdemeanor counts of operating with a blood alcohol content of 0.17 or more, assault or assault and battery, 2 counts, failure to stop and identify after a property destruction accident, and failure to display a valid license and drunken disorderly conduct. He also faces 3 felony counts of assaulting, resisting, obstructing a police officer. He is scheduled to be arraigned at a pretrial hearing before Judge Karen Quelan Valvo on Monday in Ann Arbor. On March 15th, 10 days after Connolly's arrest, Michigan announced he was no longer employed by the university. Former Napoleon boys basketball coach Jeremy File has been charged with 3 felonies for stealing nearly $4,000 using credit card information he received from a woman who paid him to coach her partner's grandson. File, through a side coaching business called Life and Basketball, or LAB, also is accused of 6 misdemeanor larceny offenses. He allegedly continued collecting payments for lessons knowing he would no longer be in Michigan to deliver the services. Napoleon Township Police Chief Dwayne Pittman said, quote, I think he needed the money to get out west, end quote. The 33-year-old former local basketball star last living in Arizona turned himself into court authorities on Monday. District Judge Joseph Phillip arraigned him the same day and gave him a $5,000 personal recognizance bond, meaning he pays nothing if he appears in court as ordered. So we'll be following that one. A lot of drama there as well. The Detroit Tigers took the field to celebrate Miguel Cabrera's 35th birthday yesterday, and it was a birthday bash to say the least, as the team notched a 6-5 win in a game with 4 game tying and lead changing hits in the 8th inning onward. Miggy absolutely showed up to his own party. First, he mashed a double in the first inning. When the double did not result in any runs, he decided to hit a home run in the bottom of the 6th to give the team a 2-1 lead. It was the 464th homer of Miggy's career, passing fellow future Hall of Famer Adrian Beltre to reach 35th place on the all-time leaderboard. How about that? So I guess you could say it's kind of a big win for the Detroit Tigers, right? I mean, but it's still the beginning of the season, so I don't know if you can call any win big right now. But a big moment for Miggy on his birthday. Also, a quick update concerning the NBA playoffs last night. Well, yesterday we saw the Cleveland Cavaliers itch that bugaboo from game 1, right? Tying the series with the Indiana Pacers with just a 3-point window at home against Indiana. That was a 100-97 final. We also saw the Utah Jazz top the Oklahoma City Thunder 102-95. And boy, oh boy, I don't know if you guys have been watching Donovan Mitchell, but we are watching a star right now. A star is being born right now here in the NBA playoffs. He's been fantastic all year, but I feel like he's elevating his game now in the playoffs. That series is tied between the Jazz and Thunder at 1-1. And also we saw the Houston Rockets just mollywop the Minnesota Timberwolves, 102-82. Houston leads now that series 2-0. Today you can catch the 76ers and Heat in Game 3. Also Game 3, all Game 3s here. The Trailblazers and Pelicans and the Warriors and Spurs and some really unfortunate news. Can we just kill that the background music just briefly here, Ian? Greg Popovich, head coach of the San Antonio Spurs, will not coach tonight's Game 3 due to his wife, Erin, passing away yesterday. Spurs assistant coach Ettore Messina will fill in for Pop against the Golden State Warriors. Erin Popovich died early Wednesday at the age of 67. She had been battling an illness for an extended period. The couple was married for 4 decades and had two children, Jill and Mikey, as well as 2 grandchildren. Very sad news. Thoughts and prayers out to the NBA family and Greg Popovich as well, of course. Just a real heavy story that none of us saw coming, including actually LeBron James, who was asked by Ali LaForce, who is a sideline reporter for TNT and Turner Sports. She asked LeBron after the win over the Indiana Pacers last night in Game 2. And here's what LeBron's response was.
Really devastating news. The Spurs announced that Erin, Coach Popovich's wife, officially passed away. I know you're close with Pop. Any words or thoughts you'd like to share with him?
Fans, we hope you enjoyed your evening here with us tonight on Friday for the watch party. It starts at 7 p.m. Stop by the second
half. I mean, I'm a huge Pop fan. I love Pop. That's such a tragedy, and you know, my best wishes goes out to Pop and his family. I know that's devastating news, and it's just a lot. I mean, the NBA family, we all stick together. I know we compete every night, but something like this happens, it puts everything in perspective. So, you know, I send my well wishes and my prayers up to the heavens above. I know the man above never makes a mistake, even when you sometimes have to ask why. But that's just terrible news. And best of luck to Pop, man, and everybody in San Antonio, the whole Spurs family. That's all I can say, Ali.
LeBron, thank you so much for your time.
You know, I had no problem with the question asked by Ali LaForce, you know, just commenting and asking LeBron whether or not he wanted to comment on the passing of Greg Popovich's his wife, Erin, who sadly passed away at just the age of the young age of 67 years old. Very shocking news there. But you know what? After that interview, many people hopped on social media and attacked TNT sideline reporter Ali LaForce, basically saying, many people saying that Ali LaForce blindsided LeBron James right after the game, because it looked like if you you just heard that interview. For those that didn't see that interview, you just heard it, and it looked like and it sounded like LeBron James didn't know about the passing of Greg Popovich's wife until right then and there when Ali LaForce asked the question and said Pop's wife has sadly passed. And you could see the look on LeBron's face, and he actually, you know, he threw out a few, 2 expletives. But, you know, the question that I have, you know, as a journalist in that moment, I don't see why many people are jumping down, you know, the throat of Allie LaForce for asking the question and asking LeBron James for comment. I mean, these are two guys who are close. You know, Greg Popovich has coached LeBron James at the Olympic level. They're close, and they have a relationship. So I don't know why people were upset that Allie LaForce asked him the question. I don't think there was a problem with that. However, you know, when dealing with a story sensitive like that, you know, you want to make sure that you have at least prepped whoever you're interviewing at the time that, you know, hey, I'm going to ask something very sensitive here. Maybe during the break, you know, as they went to the play-by-play and color analyst, you know, maybe during that time say, hey, LeBron, we just heard this news. I want to start by acknowledging and getting your reaction of the passing of Greg Pop's wife. And then you ask that question, because then you're not blindsiding, you know, a player out of nowhere who may not have known that news at the time. However, you know what's weird? You know, LeBron James actually came to the defense of Allie LaForce. And, you know, he's on this zero dark 30, you know, right now. He does not post anything on social media. He completely goes ghost on social media to focus on the task at hand, and that is trying to win an NBA championship in the playoffs. But LeBron James, he went on the uninterrupted Twitter page and sent his thoughts and prayers to the family of Greg Popovich, and he set the record straight on Allie LaForce's question, saying that Allie had notified me before we hit the airwaves, before the red button came on, and she didn't blindside me, basically. But even if that's true, I also asked LeBron, well, why did you make it seem like, why your mannerisms made it seem like, you know, you were just getting that news then and there. So it's interesting. I'm curious to get people's thoughts on this, because this thing went viral on social media. Many people were upset at Allie LaForce. I really feel bad for her, because I don't have a problem with the question at all. However, you know, I probably would have worded it, you know, and put LeBron out there a little bit if he, cause, I mean, but there's no way to know whether or not, you know, LeBron James is going to act like he heard the news for the first time when you go live on the air. I probably would have said, hey, LeBron, we just talked during this break before we came back, and I notified you on the passing of Greg Popovich's wife. Do you care to comment? So you would at least acknowledge that you let LeBron know before you hit the air that this happened. So, but yeah, it's interesting though, because, you know, you get into this whole ethical discussion in the world of journalism, right? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Right now, I want to invite our first guest to WKAR's Current Sports. As I noted at the top of the hour, we have two guests joining us throughout these next 60 minutes. Well, less than 60 minutes now, right? Anthony Iani, he's behind the glass right now. I see him, and he's one of my favorite guests, renowned motivational speaker and former MSU men's basketball player. He's going to join us on the air to talk about Autism Awareness Month, April being that month. And before we bring on Ant, I want to bring along now to the show Aaron Sulzer, who joins us via phone. Aaron Sulzer is a former Eastern Michigan University wrestler, and he is a representative for a campaign entitled Save Our Student Sports. If you remember, we talked about this story pretty extensively earlier this month, at the beginning of April. Last month, Eastern Michigan University announced it will be eliminating its wrestling, men's swimming and diving, softball, and women's tennis programs. These are the four sports that EMU plans to eliminate due to trying to dig itself out of being in the red and being in a deficit, a budget deficit. This, of course, has been met with a lot of criticism and a lot of angst and anger out in Ypsilanti. And Aaron Sulzer actually is going to speak at a rally come tomorrow afternoon. So right now, it's my pleasure to welcome to WKAR's Current Sports former EMU wrestler and rep for Save Our Student Sports, Aaron Sulzer. Aaron, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great talking with you, my man. Happy Thursday to you. First off, Aaron, I want to start with, you know, the very beginning of this story and how this came about. Why has the university decided to cut these four programs at Eastern Michigan University?
Yeah, so I actually was able to meet with the athletic director and some other, you know, admin type people a few weeks back. So basically, it was it's a money saving initiative. The university wanted to make an 11% budget cut, and basically they handed the athletic department $2.4 million of it. So that's what led to them cutting the four sports. You know, it's funny to learn that it's purely expense driven. So they weren't looking at the, you know, the revenue impact. And for them being in enrollment-based school, it doesn't make much sense. You know, for example, a wrestling team has 30 athletes, and they have 9.9 full scholarships. So that's 20.1 full-paying students. So that was the reasoning we were given, but it doesn't make much sense.
This plan's on saving, you said, around $2 million, according to EMU?
According to EMU, $2.4 million.
Now, what happens to the scholarships of those currently a part of those four programs?
So they honor the scholarships for the people that stay, but I'm going to assume that most of the athletes are going to look for opportunities elsewhere. I'm not 100% about the recruits that have signed this past year. I'm assuming that they're going to honor those as well, but I guess I'm not 100% on that part.
Gotcha. Aaron, you were a wrestler for Eastern Michigan University. I want to know how you found out the news. Did you guys see this coming down the pike, or did it kind of blindside you guys?
I personally was completely blindsided. From the people that I talked to that are, you know, the coaches, the current student athletes, I think they were all blindsided. So it happened, I want to say Tuesday morning, and that was, you know, 3 days after the wrestling season officially ended. So they had the NCAA tournament in Cleveland, where I live. So I was able to, you know, go to that. And as an alumni and supporter of the program, I'd say that, you know, weekend was probably the most proud I'd ever been to be, you know, an EMU alumni and EMU supporter. We had, you know, an All-American for the first time since 1999. Five of our wrestlers, which is half of the team, qualified for the NCAA tournament. Our head coach was nominated for National Coach of the Year. And wow. Then, you know, 3 days later, just completely blindsided. I got a text message, and one of my good friends he's a graduate assistant coach up there right now while he's finishing his master's degree. He texted me at like 7 in the morning saying, we just got called into, well, I think they sent an email the night before, 9 o'clock the night before, and said, we have an emergency meeting at 7:30 a.m. tomorrow. He texted me at 7 in the morning on that Tuesday and said, I think the program's about to get dropped. And I was in complete shock because of obviously the events that had just happened, you know, that Saturday before. And then 30 minutes later, I got the text, we just got dropped. And I think my initial reaction was that we're in the twilight zone right now.
You couldn't believe it.
And I think that's similar to what everyone else felt.
Yeah, if it kind of felt like a dream, right? You couldn't believe when you heard that news.
Because we had a young team. You know, we had a true freshman that redshirted. He went 22-0, won 5 tournaments, and he was going to be replacing one of the 2 seniors we lost. So As far as everyone we're getting back, and with the amount of, you know, only losing 2 seniors, the future was looking bright for the program.
So for you all, Aaron, and, you know, in combination with, you know, other student athletes, a part of the other three programs that will be eliminated, such as men's swimming and diving, softball, and women's tennis, how did you all come together as student athletes and begin to organize this campaign entitled Save Our Student Sports?
Yeah, I think it was just, you know, common support from each of those programs. A lot of passionate people out there that, you know, support the program. A lot of alumni that, you know, the amount of effort that goes into being a student athlete is second to none. And, you know, for our specific sports, there's really no, I guess for tennis there is, but, you know, there's really no professional wrestling or, you know, professional swimming outside of the Olympics. So it's kind of our only opportunity. And I think all of us were grateful for the opportunities that, you know, the sports had given us throughout our life. You know, scholarship, able to go to college, able to compete at the highest level of our sport. And I think it was just a common ownership of, you know, that we knew the decision was wrong and just trying to get behind each other and do something to demonstrate to the school the value that our programs bring and the value that, you know, the alumni eventually will bring to school.
You know, Aaron, I really didn't realize how dire the situation was when it comes to EMU's athletic budget situation until the HBO Real Sports profile on EMU Athletics. Have you seen that piece?
I actually did not. I've heard about it, though.
Yeah, and you know, so you know what a profile is. It kind of goes through and really centers on the EMU college football program and the amount of money that is poured into EMU college football. It doesn't really profit the university financially. If anything, it just continues to dig the university in the red. They interviewed many students on campus who were, you know, completely in awe and shock that they didn't even know that when they looked at their tuition bill, that money was being taken out of their tuition and they were actually paying to keep the college football program afloat. And many of them are, you know, are in situations. They interviewed a few students who really can't pay for books, and one student who's living out his car just trying to get the degree. And then all of a sudden you look at this college football program that is flourishing financially, but is still continuing to put the university in the red. I'm curious, when you take that into account, and you know, you evaluate the student athlete body, is there kind of an angst or a divide between the student athlete community when you guys look at your program in comparison to what the university is doing for college football at EMU? That has to move you a bit, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a loaded question, I guess. But
definitely.
I mean, speaking while I was on campus, definitely. I mean, it's no secret to any of the sports that football gets, you know, the most money. And I think I had read something that one of the current EMU swimmers had posted just talking about the, you know, their locker room. They share a public locker room with metal lockers. And I think that just goes to show you, one, how impressive it is that they were able to do what they did, you know, able to get the recruits that they did. And that's probably, you know, a testament to the coaches doing a great job developing his athletes. Mm-hmm. But then you look at the, you know, the football facilities, and yeah, it's definitely noticed by the athletes. I'll say that.
Definitely. All right. Well, when it comes to campus perception, when it comes to the college football program, when it comes to this situation for sports being cut at EMU, what is the student body reaction to this story?
There's obviously some mixed responses, but I'd say for the most part, from what we've seen, it's been extremely positive to try to save the sports. I think people have been following how, you know, how well these specific programs have been doing over the past few years, and I think as far as community outreach, you know, I know that the wrestling team does a lot in the community. I think we had just won. A couple of days ago, they had these award ceremonies at Eastern, and the wrestling team won, I think, the citizenship award. So I think once some of the information was released, as far as, you know, the error that the athletic department made in their submitted report to the NCAA, mm-hmm. I think people are starting to get a little angry and curious as to what is actually going on with the athletic department.
Aaron, as I noted before we brought you on, and again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are talking with Aaron Sulzer, who is a former EMU wrestler and representative for Save Our Student Sports. Aaron, you all will have a rally tomorrow afternoon. Can you give us more information about it? And also, what are you all hoping the outcome of this rally will be tomorrow?
Yeah, so I don't want to say that this has kind of been like our finish line, because I don't, for at least the supporters, there is no finish line for us. I don't think the administration realizes that it's not something that we're just going to, you know, go away. We're gonna keep on them. I think it's the main purpose tomorrow is just to try to get as many supporters and alumni there as possible to just show that the Board of Regents and the administration the amount of support that the programs have, and just try to show them the value that they're going to miss out on if this decision stays put. So I know that there's going to be a lot of people there tomorrow showing their support. Whoever can show up, be respectful, but it's okay to be passionate.
What's the structure going to be, Aaron? I mean, I know you'll be speaking. What kind of message do you have planned? Will the public get a chance to voice their concerns and rock the mic a bit? And where is it going to be held at on campus?
So it's going to be out in front of Welch Hall on campus. I know that they have a pretty good structure going for tomorrow. I'm not 100% on everything. I know they have a number of people that are going to speak to the Board of Regents. They have a number of people outside that are going to be addressing the crowd and the rally, broken off into, you know, minute increments. I think the people speaking to the board are speaking in three minute time slots, and I think the people that are going to be outside speaking to the rally are in 10 minute time slots. But I think the main point is to just get our message across, and just trying to, you know, continuing what we've been doing all along of just trying to show support and show value.
And that will be 4 p.m., am I right, tomorrow, Aaron?
I thought it was at 9 a.m.
Or 9 a.m. Oh, I'm way off. Oh, my goodness. I'm like hours and hours off. Okay, 9 a.m. tomorrow then at Wells. Is that correct?
Yeah, let me double check for you real quick.
Yeah, please.
Yes, 9 a.m. tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Tomorrow at 9 a.m., and you'll be speaking again. We've been chatting with Aaron Sulzer, former EMU wrestler and representative for Save Our Student Sports. A rally on campus being held tomorrow to try and save these four programs in which Aaron and many of the student body and student athlete body, I should say, have felt like they really were blindsided with this news of the cutting of these programs. Aaron, thank you so much for your time. We'll be sure to put that information on the podcast version of this episode.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, Aaron Sulzer, thank you for your time. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat live here in Studio S with Anthony Iani, renowned motivational speaker and former Michigan State men's basketball player. And we'll talk about Autism Awareness Month, that being the month of April, and also his motivational speaking endeavors and so much more. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you live here inside of Studio S on the campus of Michigan State University. Just wrapped up segment A, chatting with Aaron Sulzer, former Eastern Michigan University wrestler and representative for Save Our Student Sports. The university has decided to cut four athletic programs in order to try and salvage and dig itself out of the red due to a tremendous budget deficit. So Aaron Sulzer is a part of the EMU, again, former EMU wrestler, and the student body and the student athletes will be holding a rally to be held on campus tomorrow morning at Wells Hall. And we'll see what the outcome is going to be. But again, many of the student athletes who are a part of those four programs completely feeling blindsided right now. All right. From that chat now to a chat live here in studio with a man who I'll always love having on the show. He is a dear friend of WKAR's current sports, to say the least. His name is Anthony Iani, renowned motivational speaker and former Michigan State University men's basketball player. Ant, how you doing, my man?
Good, Al. Always a pleasure to come on, man.
Always good chatting with you. What have you been up to, first off? I mean, I know you've been doing the Relentless Tour and speaking at various schools across the nation. What's these last few months been like for you?
I've been running all over the place. Beginning of March, I was in Nebraska for the third year of the Relentless Tour. And the numbers in Nebraska right now in 3 years, we hit over 32 schools, K through 12, three universities, reached over 20,000 individuals in Nebraska in just 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And then I'm heading to West Virginia next week. And then I was in Philadelphia 2 weeks ago. So I'm just running all over the place, man. And I've been doing a lot of traveling in the state, obviously. I was up in Petoskey last week. Thankfully, I wasn't there over the weekend with all the 20 inches of snow that they got up there, apparently.
Thank goodness.
Seriously. And other than work, man, just been, you know, taking care of my wife and my beautiful boys, my three-year-old Knox and three-month-old Nash, and just being a family man and trying to get my book out there, too. I know the writing just got done last night, so I get to do the fun part of, you know, writing a book proposal and, you know, sending it out to publishers and agents. So
amazing. Yeah. So the writing for your book just finished last night?
It just finished last night.
The final word was written last night.
The final word was written last night, man.
That's amazing, man. Yeah. So now it's just about, you know, going through the logistical processes now.
Yeah, and, so I had, you know, Chris Solari, the beat writer for Michigan for the Free Press, he wrote an article about me in the Lansing State Journal 3 years ago before he took over for Rex Road. And the article was about my life story, and I called him after that. I said, hey, you want to do something bigger than that? And so he agreed to be my ghostwriter, and so we've been working on this thing together for a little over 2.5 years, and he sent me the email last night saying, here you go. It's all done. So now I'm moving forward with everything on my end. So I get to do the fun part. I get to do the proposals and reaching out to people and seeing what, you know, where we go from there.
Absolutely amazing. Can you give us a tease? What's the name of the book? Do you have a name yet?
I'm not going to give away the name, man. I ain't going to do that now.
I tried, folks. I tried, okay? He's holding on tight to the name right now, okay?
Let's just say it's going to be something that people are going to really like.
Do you have a target date for when you want to put it out?
If I could, I'd like to get it out in the fall. And of course, that all depends on, you know, what agents and publishers want to do. So, but I would like to get it out sometime in the fall, hopefully before college basketball season starts next year.
We definitely got to have you back on when you put this thing out.
Oh,
I'm looking
for sure,
forward
man.
To reading it, man.
Oh, yeah.
Give me an autographed copy for sure,
I
right?
I got you, man.
All right, and I want to talk about, you know, now sticking with your motivational speaking, because, mm-hmm. you know, we keep in touch on a regular basis and we text from time to time, and mm-hmm. I see what you're doing on social media and Twitter and Facebook, and, you know, you're always talking about which schools you're at. You know, it's such a really tough time here in America when it comes to our schools, the safety mm-hmm. of our schools. You know, when the shooting out in Florida took place not too long ago, that really hit home for me because the high school where that took place was literally right down the street from where my little sister attends middle school at.
Oh, wow.
So crazy stuff. So when I went to visit my mother for Easter, mm-hmm. you know, a few weeks ago, earlier this month, I'm down there. My mom's like, yeah, you know, it was crazy here. FBI was, you know, all across the block, and we couldn't really go anywhere because police had every street blocked off. And we actually drove. This was my first night there. I'm like, how close is that school? It took probably less than 2 minutes Jeez. To get to the school. So we drive there and we see all these tributes and teddy bears and stuffed animals everywhere mm-hmm. Paying tribute to those who lost their life on that sad day.
Right.
So when you look at America today, and the big debate here is gun laws here in America mm-hmm. and how to ensure safety for our kids at schools. Have you talked about that much during the Relentless Tour, and what kind of response have you gotten, if so?
So I know when after the shooting happened, I went to Waverly East Intermediate School out here in Lansing, and the principal who I've known for the last couple of years, she's had me back every 2 years. So it's a 5-6 building, mm-hmm. grades 5-6. And when I came in the day after the shooting, she's like, you could not have come at a perfect time because our kids are scared, they're worried, but they're talking. You know, they're talking about all this. And I think one of the biggest things I get from kids is like, Because in my presentation, I talk about not only going out and being the change, but going out and making that change. When kids hear that, it's like, okay, well, this guy is saying we have a voice and we need to use that voice. And I was in Davison High School on Monday, and I was talking to a young individual who was from Flint, and he was telling me how, you know, I got a voice and I want to use that voice. And you inspire me today to do that, to go out and make a change, not just in my life and somebody else's life, but maybe in our communities, in our community, and go from there. So it's definitely hit home to a lot of people. I've had conversations with administrators about, you know, the school shootings, everything like that. So they are very well aware, and they've all stepped up on how they can make their school safer, what other proper precautions they can use going forward. So it's definitely something that's really put people on, you know, the high alert on everything, if you will.
What leads a kid to reach that point to where they want to bring a firearm to school and cause harm to others? You've talked to many kids, and
yep.
When you talk to these kids, the emotions of these kids vary depending on the kids you're talking about. Not every kid is the same. They come from different backgrounds. But what leads a kid to want to do something as heinous as that?
You know, it could be many things. You know, from a bullying standpoint, you know, a kid who's bullied so much, a lot of kids think about suicide. And that's part of it because they can't take the bullying anymore. They feel like they're being ganged up by people in school for no reason. And when they try to get help to stop the bullying and it hasn't, nobody's helped them, like, they feel like they're helpless. And, you know, that's why I've always made it my job to go into schools and let those kids know, like, you know, you're not alone. Like, you know, you can overcome the bullying and do what you want to do and go where you want to go in life. So in my personal opinion, Al, I think it's a lot of things that goes on outside those school doors, mm-hmm. what goes on at home, what goes on in somebody's personal life. And it just gets to a point sometimes where they may want to harm themselves or harm others. And I think that's something, you know, we talk about mental illness and everything like that. That's something that we all had to, you know, keep aware of. Because I know last year my high school teacher, my literature teacher, lost her husband last year to suicide. Because of mental illness. And so I know it hit home to me and it hit home to a lot of people in Oakland because we, you know, love our literature teacher so much. We do anything for her. And so when we ever see school shootings happening, the first thing people say, oh, it's mental illness. But it could also be a different combination of things as well.
You mentioned mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's becoming less of a taboo topic right now because of what we're seeing happen in our nation and the horrible stories that we are reading on a far too regular basis now. I feel like it's becoming less taboo, which is a win in a way, right?
It is. Because, you know, it means more people are talking about it, you know, not just on social media, but, you know, in the offices, in the classrooms. So there's more awareness for it. And obviously that's a good thing, you know, in my opinion.
Are you starting to see more kids have the courage to come to an administrator or come to you and say, hey, Aunt, I'm going through this, that, and this?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Because, you know, a lot of students have asked me, you know, who should I go to if this is happening? And the first thing I've always told them was, you know what? Tell a teacher. Tell a principal. And I hate when kids come up to me and go, well, that'd be snitching. I'm like, all right, first of all, those are terms that you and I used when we were kids, snitching and tattletaling. And right. I tell those kids, get your own terms. Come up with your own terminology. But at the same time, I tell them, but, you know, you may think it's snitching, but it's not. Because if you don't say anything to somebody, it's going to get worse. And same thing with other people, you know, people surrounding you is that, you know, I've had other kids ask me, well, what if I witness bullying? You know, is that me being snitched? I said, no, that's you being, you know, the solution to the problem. Because mm-hmm. if you look at somebody bullying somebody and you don't say anything, you are part of the problem. So it's like in my assemblies, Al, whenever I call out kids, and I do it all the time, you know, if I ever see kids getting out of hands in my assembly, I will take care of it myself.
You cracked a whip.
Oh, heck yeah, man. Because, you know, I'm like my mom. My mom has always demanded respect as a teacher and as a coach, and I get that from her. And same thing with my dad, too, because I treat my presentations as my classroom. You know, I'm like a teacher. They're my students, and I'm not going to let you disrespect my class like that.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I talk to the students afterhand, the ones that come up to me and apologize for interrupting or whatever, one of their friends will come up and go, well, I wasn't talking. Well, I don't care if you were or not, but you could have been the one to elbow your friend in the shoulder or in the ribs and say, hey, man, just chill. Like, wait till the assembly's over. There's like 10 minutes left. Just chill out. I said, so instead of being the solution, you were part of the problem. So I'm definitely seeing a lot more kids asking, what else can I do to be part of the solution rather than the problem?
And at the same time, when you're calling these kids out, you're also teaching them accountability as well, right?
Teaching them a lesson. And I tell those kids out, I'm not mad at you. That's not how I roll. That's not how I do things in my career. it's a lesson I want you to remember, because 20 years from now, when you're sitting in a business meeting with your boss and you're doing the same stuff that you are doing with me in that meeting, what's going to happen to you if your boss catches you?
Preach.
Yeah, you're going to get fired. So yeah. I tell those kids, you know, it's something I want you to remember, because next time you have another speaker come in that's maybe a little bit bigger brand, a bigger name than me, I want you to show them the respect that they deserve. And so you don't make the same mistake twice. That's like baseball terms. I use it with the kids. Strike one, it's okay. Strike two, you don't get second chances in life, but sometimes you do. Strike three, you're out of the game.
Right. I like that.
Thank you, man.
That's a very good, that hits home, pun intended. That hits home for a lot of kids, I'm sure. If you're just not joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Anthony Iani, renowned motivational speaker and former Michigan State University basketball player. And April. Mm-hmm. Autism Awareness Month.
Big month.
Big month for you, because yep. I know it's personal. Mm-hmm. You were diagnosed with autism, you know, when you were growing up. You were the first. Are you the only Division I men's basketball player to be diagnosed with autism?
As far as I know, in NCAA history, yeah.
Amazing. But you fought through it, mm-hmm. and, you know, this has to be a very important month for you. What endeavors have you partook or are partaking in throughout the rest of this month to raise awareness when it comes to autism?
Obviously, besides the speaking engagements, I've been doing a lot of blogs, you know, media appearances as well. And I got contacted by an ad advertising agency in San Francisco who wanted me to partake in a ad for Autism Awareness Month. And so that's probably going to come out in the next week or so. But just little things like that. And because, you know, a lot of people know that, you know, and some people may not know, we have over 3.5 million people in this country who have autism.
Wow.
And that's a community, Al, I put on my shoulders every day. And that's something that a lot of people don't realize, is that when I put those people on my shoulders every day, I'm trying to give them a voice that they need, because there are some people with autism who are nonverbal, who can't talk. So I'm trying to be the voice for those individuals who don't have one. And so, you know, the day I started doing all this, I told my wife this and I told everybody else this. Other than the great Temple Grandin, who's one of the world's most famous individuals with autism, name me another individual who's going to step in line after her. And nobody would say anything to me. And I said, well, I want to be that guy. I want to be the guy that she passes the torch down to one day and says, hey, you're going to represent this community now. It's on you. And so every time I meet a person with autism, it's a big honor for me, because that's part of the community I represent.
What should our listeners know about autism, Anthony?
First and foremost, a person with autism wants one thing and one thing only in life, and that's to be your friend. You know, that's all an individual with autism wants. But I think more importantly, you know, for autism in general, you know, the community needs more awareness than what it's getting right now. It also needs a little bit more respect than what it's getting right now. Because a lot of people, Al, when they think of autism, they think of a label. You know, they just think of the label. They just think of the characteristics. And I tell people all the time, well, you know what? Every person in life has a label. Mm-hmm. We all have labels. I mean, you got one, Al. I mean, you're a radio show host. You're a sports guy. You know, those are labels. Me, I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a former college basketball player, motivational speaker, Michigan State Spartan, and I have autism. And I'm proud to say all those things in my life, especially that last one, because I'm proud to have autism. And if somebody were to say to me, there's a cure for autism, would you take it? My simple two words would be heck no. Because you know what? Autism made me into who I am today. It helped me create history, not once, but twice. You know, first Division I college basketball player in NCAA history with autism. And I started the first known grassroots initiative in the state of Michigan, the Relentless Tour. So without autism, I don't make those two parts of history in my life. So right. Autism created me, and it helped make me and made me and built me into who I am today.
And I tell you what, that man who you are today and continue to be, Anthony, is one that we all admire.
Thank you,
for
man.
Sure. Before we get out of here, I want you to show this, actually. For those watching on the Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News, you have the Relentless Tour wristband.
Yep.
That's mine. You can't have that one. All right. However, you know, I'm going to be rocking that all the time now. I love wristbands. As you see, I got on, you know, or bracelets, or, you know, I wear them all the time. Right. So especially when I'm working out.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be rocking this one all the time, man. But can you tell our listeners more about the Relentless Tour? If anyone out there is listening to you and, mm-hmm. and are saying, hey, man, I would really love him to talk to our youth group or our students. How can they do that?
Yeah, so the Relentless Tour is an anti-bullying initiative, a nationwide anti-bullying initiative. I started here in the state back in October 2013. So a little over 4.5 years just been into it. And like I said, it's the first grassroots initiative of its kind in the state's history. And how people can get in touch with me is they can go to relentlesstour.com, go to the contact page and fill out the request form, and then let me know when and where you want me to come, and I'll be there. So,
any travels?
Anywhere.
Anywhere and everywhere.
Anywhere, anytime, any place, I'm there.
And you talk about Philly. You know, during that first break, we were discussing how you actually got a chance to take a picture in front of the Rocky statue. Yep. And I'm a huge Rocky fan. And to be very cool, right?
It really was, because right after I took the picture, I went on my Twitter and social media, and I texted my parents. And what I put on social media was, you know, two of the biggest underdogs of all time finally got to meet each other. And then I got to run up the Rocky steps. Yes, I was singing the Rocky theme song as I was running up steps, because there were people, Al, that were sprinting up those steps
right. With
their phones and had the music on their phone while they're on Snapchat.
That's great.
I was like, I should have done that.
Right? That's a great idea, man. Or at least have the song going on in your earbuds as you run
exactly.
up, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's one of my dreams. That's on my bucket list. You've already accomplished it right now, and that's very cool stuff.
Thanks, man.
So where are you headed to next? What's the next week or two look like for you?
So tomorrow I am heading I'm in Livonia at Schoolcraft College, presenting there, and then elementary school in Northville. And I head to West Virginia next week for 24 hours, speak at a middle school. Mm-hmm. And then I head to Florida the following week for 3 days for schools and a golf outing with the Rooney Foundation, the owners of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Wow, that's big.
Yep. So I did a lunch. I was keynote at their luncheon last November.
Yeah.
So I got to meet the nephew of the Rooney family, I can't remember the one that just passed away, the Steelers owner.
Oh, boy. Hold on. Let me do some quick Google it now. Yeah, Google it right now.
So
right.
It was his nephew that owns the foundation, but like the family.
Dan Rooney.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So it was Dan's nephew that I met. And so just having that conversation with them about, you know, what Dan Rooney was like. And so after that luncheon, they were like, okay, we want you back for this golf outing and speak to our schools. I'm like, all right, cool. I said, Florida weather in May? I'm down with that, man. Get me out of this cold weather here in this state, man.
Preach. Yeah, I mean, this is like the third winter. I call it the third winter here in Michigan, where you get the first winter in December, you know, then you get that second winter in February, and now it's the third winter when you have winter
right?
in April. It's like, come on, Michigan.
And there's snow on the ground.
And there's snow on the ground.
Man.
Exactly. I'm telling you. Well, I tell you what, you're not, Ant. We love having you on.
Thanks,
you are a bright, shining light, dude. And again, we'll be sure to put more information about the Relentless Tour on our podcast description when we post this episode later on this afternoon. That sound good?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
All right. The one, the only, Anthony Iani, motivational speaker and former Michigan State men's basketball player. Much love to him. Also, much thanks to Aaron Sulzer, former EMU wrestler and representative for Save Our Student Sports. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Have a fantastic Thursday afternoon, and be easy, people.